I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Best of My Dad Wrote a Porno.
This is going to be short, isn't it?
And that's it. Thank you so much.
I mean, you can just listen to the whole back catalogue. We'd love that.
Am I right in thinking this is due to overwhelming popular demand, James?
Well, you know, I love the social medias.
You do, all of them.
Addicted.
I still like to check what's going on there, and people keep...
It's not illegal. You can do that.
I still check Twitter, even though, you know, it's going to the dogs.
X now, no?
X. X can give it to you. And yeah, people are constantly telling us their favourite moments, their favourite memories of the show, whether it's Jamie's accents, you saying fuck off.
Fuck off.
Me and my talking cat, which people always email me about.
Hello.
So yeah, we thought, wouldn't it be fun to have all those best moments in one place?
I couldn't agree more. Also, you just reminded me that Logan Roy has stolen my catchphrase. Now I would say Logan Roy is a more famous fuck off than me.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you saying that the fuck offs in succession is an Easter egg of My Dad Wrote a Porno?
Look, I didn't say it, you said it, but it seems to make sense.
The way that Kristen Scott Thomas in Fleabag is clearly an homage to Belinda.
What's that?
Well, she plays Belinda, who's like a award-winning businesswoman, though.
And they meet at the bar after the event. Yes, I've never thought about it.
So you're saying all of culture are nods to... Your head's got too big for your body, my darling.
Your head's got too big for your body.
Literally impossible.
I'm surprised you get a hat on that head these days.
But yeah, so we thought that we'd do some kind of best of episodes. And kind of starting in the most logical place, which is the most embarrassing childhood stories of the three of us. We really overshare on this show.
You've often talked about this podcast being instead of therapy, Jamie. And I feel like when you do therapy, you go back to those early years.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That is what we've done here.
And we're going to be releasing an episode every month with a different theme. That's the idea, isn't it?
Yeah. Really loose, awkwardly crowbarred in themes, absolutely.
And stuff that's not just Belinda stuff, like the stuff that's like our stories, weird things that have happened.
Yeah, because we did a best of book for every series. So if you want your like favourite lines, they're still there as well. Go and listen to those. Listen to whole episodes, maybe.
And for those that know it inside out, back to front, 69, The Shape of Two Naked Women, there's also...
Oh, Alice, one naked lady.
Oh, it's even more confusing than I remember.
It's just one naked lady. How quickly she forgets.
Then there are some new bits too.
Yeah, if you keep listening to the end of the episode, we might have slotted in something we have never played before.
I wonder why it didn't make the cut. No, do you know what?
Because time constraints, actually.
Honestly, it is. Because when I've been editing this show over the years, there have been so much stuff that I kind of did want to include that was funny, but the show's kind of got longer and longer as the series have gone on. And we've always been quite kind of...
judicious.
Yeah, and just like wanted to put the best stuff in it. So it isn't that it's just crap that wasn't good enough. It's just that there really was no place for it. So I think it's going to be quite fun for people to listen to the stuff that didn't make it.
So you mean all those emails I sent after every episode about like, where's my funny joke about this? Where's my funny joke about that? You actually were listening and you were compiling a little sort of like, I guess, scrap spin.
Yes.
So stay listening to the end for scraps.
What do they call it in a pub? All the beer that...
Swill,
the,
is
the
it?
The swill. The sloshy swill pit.
And I'm just so glad that, you know, people have been waiting for this thing that we've been teasing, that we're not gone forever. This isn't that. We should make that clear as well.
Oh, so this isn't that?
No, this is just something to wet your whistle in the meantime, Alice. Keep your tip wet.
Thank you.
Keep it wet with that swill. Lovely. So this episode is going to be all about kind of the childhood trauma, really, that we shared with you all. Because we talk a lot about being kids.
For a porn show, yeah.
Well, that did mostly come from you, Jamie, because you probably had the oddest childhood of us all.
Right.
The most non-traditional.
Yeah, unconventional.
I mean, we didn't even get to the half of it, but yeah, sure.
Well, this is a good opportunity to just scratch the surface a bit more, I suppose, because we're hearing this episode about your friends, about your pastimes, but I'm trying to picture you as a young boy in school.
Yeah, set the scene.
Oh, it'll amaze you that I was quite badly bullied. And not just because I was, you know, in the Air Cadets and, you know.
In the what, sorry?
Shut up.
I was in the Air Cadets.
What? I don't know what that is. Is that the Red Arrows?
It's like, yeah, like youth, I guess, like youth RAF camp, I guess.
No.
Oh my god,
the swill's at the front.
There's a thick head of swill.
It was quite big, I think, in like the 90s.
Beg to differ. We grew up in the 90s. It was not.
No. Like the TA, there was like the territorial.
Wasn't in the territorial army.
But there was most like of my life in Burma.
You weren't there, man. You weren't there.
We don't talk about it. It's too traumatic.
No, I remember there being like a youth branch of the army, but the Air Cadets.
Yeah, so that's was that for the Air Cadets.
Sorry, you know how to pilot a plane.
Right, so no, I left before any of that kind of substantive stuff was learnt. But yeah, I was a member of the Air Cadets.
What do you do in the Air Cadets unless you're flying?
It was very kind of like training camp kind of vibes, which obviously I wasn't very well equipped for.
When did you have time between your life drawing and your theatre pass? Like, where did you have time for Air Cadets?
Well, to serve the country.
Bear in mind, I am one of...
Should we salute Alice? Were you like,
I didn't even know you were a captain in the Air Force.
One of four kids. I think my parents just wanted us out of the house for as much time as possible. So we kind of had to do things every night of the week.
Oh my God, please tell me what you wore. What did you wear?
There was a uniform.
What? Have you got pictures of this?
I don't know.
Surely on your pilot's license there's a photograph.
I never even got in a plane. That's the worst thing about it.
What did you do?
I don't really know. I remember going to this kind of hut outside of the town that we lived in, Manchester, and we would just like go there after school and like do drills and stuff. And I guess
drills of what?
We like learn about things like survival techniques. And
to be fair, he has survived.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's alive to this day, so that training's worked.
But like, you know, you'd like
teach us some tips.
And like navigation and stuff, and like you do.
Was it like Top Gun?
I'm just going to Google the Air Cadets because it was obviously years ago.
The fact that this is spilled out of his mouth so quickly.
The Royal Air Force Air Cadets.
Oh, he's added that.
So like, this isn't me.
Oh no, it's a
That's
beret.
Even worse than I imagined.
It's a beret.
It's a beret. Bring that closer.
And oh. Like, I'm not sure. Obviously, that's the modern uniform. So like back
Did
in the 90s.
Did you have all those badges?
I don't think I had badges.
That's when he could fit a hat on his head before it got too big.
Oh. Anyway. This is a real tangent. I didn't even mean this to be a massive thing, but yes.
How long were you in the Air Cadets?
Oh, a couple of years. I think it was kind of, you know, I don't know if you guys did Cubs and Beavers and stuff. It was kind of like the next thing along from that, because I was never a scout.
The Air Cadets sounds way more prestigious than Cubs.
It was a proper thing, yeah. I don't think I was that well suited to it, but I'm glad that
really
I did it.
I was really reluctant to come today, but this has already paid dividends. Like, if we just get this, I'm thrilled.
There's always something, isn't there? He's an endless well of just, like, random facts.
Of biography. There's always more biography.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you, there's more than even I know. Do you know what I mean? Like, I forget things like this.
Mm.
Like, I used to sing in the choir at the local church and having to do, like, funerals and things. Like,
James, I can't.
I can't.
I just don't know what to say.
And the worst thing about that was I didn't read sheet music. So on my first day,
yeah.
He the choir master like gave me this song and he was like, so just sing the first note. I didn't know what the fucking song was. So I went, Lord. It was meant to be like, Lord. So I didn't even know anything.
I feel weak.
Anyway, yeah, look, read my autobiography if
Jamie
you want to know all of this.
Jamie singing Lord at a funeral.
How many funerals must I have ruined? Oh, I do worry about that.
God, singing running away from the butcher's dog as somebody's coffin gets carried down the aisle.
Mass. It's like how Whitney Houston started.
Anyway, so yes, this is an episode about our childhood.
I think we just end it there.
Tip of the iceberg. I don't know this man. I couldn't stand in a court of law and say I know this man.
Oh. Well, Al, if you like that, there's plenty more where that came from. Should we get going with the best of?
Yes, yeah. And stay tuned at the end for this unheard swill. Piece of swill.
When I was a kid, we had a family friend who'd like humiliate you by going, "Little finger laugh at you. Little finger laugh at you." And he'd like wiggle his
hell.
He'd wiggle his little finger your way and he'd be like, "Little finger laugh at you." I'd be like, "Carl, get that little finger away from me."
What a strange boy.
Have you ever been laughed at by a little finger? It's one of the most humiliating experiences.
Was he a grown man?
He was a grown... He's my dad's friend.
What? Oh my God, I thought he was another child.
No, he's my dad's Fuck friend. Off. And then, like, my sister would join in, so it's like a chorus of...
Little finger laugh at you.
But why were they laughing at you?
Because I probably was titting around about something.
Little finger laugh at you.
Little finger laugh at you.
Let's see if he still reacts to it, Jamie. Little finger laugh at you.
No, don't. Little
finger. So do you have to waggle it like that? Up and down?
Yeah, like the little finger is like belly laughing.
Oh my God, that's awful.
It's kind of really creepy and sinister, isn't it?
Little finger laugh at you. You're doing a strange voice with it.
That's the voice you used to.
Little finger laugh at you.
Are you still friends with this gentleman? Is he in your life?
No, not anymore.
Okay, that's
and I'll never
thing.
Forget it, actually. It really, really bothered me. It's got that Pavlovian effect to it. When you guys did it then.
What happened?
Sorry.
Deep, deep shame.
What's weird about it is it's not the little finger laughs at you. The conjugation of the phrase is confusing. Little finger laugh at you.
Little finger laugh at you, Carl. Your terrible grammar.
Would this be worse? Index finger laugh at you. No, it's a little,
about the little,
isn't it?
Finger. Yeah. It's like, what have you got to be so happy about, little
even
finger?
Even the little finger's laughing even at you. Even the runt of the
yes,
fingers.
Yes, you're right. It's that, isn't
it? It's that belittling.
With this lovely manicure, does it make it any better?
When I was a kid, we had some friends who had all daughters. And we were around playing one day, maybe like dressing up as like a clown or something. With makeup and things.
Yeah.
When it was time to go home, I went to the bathroom and found a flannel and started to wipe my face with it. And then one of the girls rushed in and said, "No, stop, Jamie, that's the bottom flannel."
What's a bottom flannel?
Don't think about it too long.
It was the flannel that they used to wash their bottoms.
All of them?
Collectively as a family?
The bottom
I don't
flannel.
Think they had
not one of the bottom flannels. Not that's Jilly's bottom flannel. That is the bottom flannel.
Yeah, so I was obviously mortified, dropped it, and I was like, the bottom flannel. Honestly, and now the word flannel, I can't hear it without having flashbacks, much like Blended with a Trellis.
So you had bottom all over your face.
Oh. James.
I know the feeling.
James, like, so far, so good.
When's the punchline? I love that story. The bottom flannel.
Isn't that rank?
Can we try and get hashtag bottom flannel trending this week?
Oh my God, that would make my life.
Did you have a bottom flannel growing up?
Yeah, if anybody had a bottom flannel growing up, please do get in touch.
It's the main reason I use a hot cloth or muslin on my face. I could never go there again with a flannel.
Okay, right.
What is that?
This is niche. So when we were...
James, you sound like you knew.
I do know this one. You've told me about this before.
So when we were kids, the parentals were like, right, we're going to go for like a week away. So we thought Centre Parks, Oasis.
Any of the go-tos?
Ho Seasons. That would be very appropriate for Belinda.
It really would.
No, we rocked up at Sandy Balls, which is kind of like a Centre Park.
No, you didn't.
No, we really did.
Sandy Balls is real.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's real. Well, I don't know if it's still around, but it was around.
No, it is. I saw adverts for it on the Tube like last year or something.
No. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Did Sandy Rocky Balls. Find the card in a kind of disused telephone box? How did he find out about it?
So weird, right? But it was actually a really nice place, but just what a name.
Is it deliberately a bit silly?
It wasn't knowing at the time. Well, I mean, I was so little, I don't really know, but maybe it was kind of a bit of a aye.
Is it a chain of sandy balls?
I think there's only one sandy ball.
There's only one sandy ball?
There's one sandy ball.
So she's like, oh, really? Oh, no, she said all the entertainment value of a week of sandy ball, so...
Is that a lot of entertainment value?
Oh, it's very, very well done, all the entertainment.
what sort of things are we talking?
Cabaret nights.
Cabaret nights.
You know, paints...
Paints. Wow.
Paints. Oh,
we
my
had
goodness.
Cabaret nights, we had paints.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, paints. All the paints you can imagine.
We've got red. We've got blue. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got green.
We've got canvas.
No, you bring the canvas, we'll bring the paint.
Paints.
No, that we painted plates.
That's worse.
worse. I like the sound of paints nights. I imagine the they just group. Showed you. I like to think they had a series yeah. of tins of wall paint and then they'd open them yeah. and go, oh, a oh, pink one.
Guess the colour, guess the colour, guess the colour.
It's called Midnight Express. What colour, ladies and gents?
That's got to be a blue. It's got to be a blue.
Do you know what? It was a blue.
It was. Yeah, I did so well at paint.
Oh God. It's like a bingo card. You've got all yeah. the samples and you have to get them all.
And all the Flintstones like, oh, what a great paints
oh,
night.
Oh my God. Just went back every year for paints.
Guys, what is this? Ooh, acrylic? It's acrylic.
It's acrylic. You guessed it.
It was eggshell. Sorry, everyone.
My name's Matt. Just a little joke.
My name's Matt and this has been paint. I think we really struck on yeah. something.
It's the glossiest night at Sandy Bowl.
Oh my God. God. My brother used to laugh in his sleep.
Oh, when, that's creepy.
I know. Also, one time I had a cabin bed, you know, like a bunk bed, but it's raised, nothing underneath. I had a small desk for my... 8-year-old needs in the kind of admin department. But I had one of those, and one night I was laughing hysterically. My dad heard it, woke him up. That's how loud I was laughing, like down the hall. Came in, I was running up and down the bed, knowing when to turn around. Weird, like laughing hysterically.
I always thought you were a demon.
Running up and down, Dr. Robin style, like, boo, boo, boo. And they were worried I was going to like fall off the end of the bed and break my neck. So my dad lifted me down, just pissed all over him. He didn't see that twist, did you?
That is some exorcist shit. Did your head rotate?
Yeah, why?
Well, I think what you both forget about me is that I'm actually an award-nominated actor.
Oh.
So, you know, this is all yeah. a bit of a breeze to me.
What was this?
The role again?
I was, Alice, I don't know if you know this about me, I was nominated for Best Actor in a Leading Role at the Cheshire One Act Festival for playing Toad in Toad of Toad Hall in 1996.
This makes so much sense. Brilliant.
Alice, poop, poop.
Hang on.
I see it.
Nice. As the arrogant toad.
And that is what we call you behind your back, and now I know why.
1996, you would have been like 10?
Mm.
And you were already nominated. Did you win?
I didn't win. Oh. I was really
robbed.
Upset. I know, Who I was
won?
Robbed. I think an old man.
Wait, was this all ages?
Yeah.
Jamie, he needed an award before he died. He was a veteran.
And also, somebody was like, who let the 10-year-old enter?
No, it was the Cheshire One Act Festival. Everyone could enter.
Everyone's welcome, famously, at the Cheshire One Act Festival.
Absolutely.
So you're used to the stage. I mean, this is nothing new to you.
Well, I haven't tread the boards in many years, but...
Shut up!
Yeah. Well, actually, now you mention it, I should also draw on some stage experience. I don't like to brag, but I was cast, because of my portly frame, in year 5 as the butcher in Oliver.
Oh my God. What did you have to say anything?
I've seen more meat on a lamb chop, Mr. Bumble.
Oh, that's wow. very good.
Thank you.
Did you have a song?
No, just that was it. And then I scuttled off. Oh no, actually, now you mention it, I did join in the chorus of Consider Yourself, but I didn't realise the second time you sang it, you only sang it once. So I went, come! And nobody else sang along. It was awful.
I was the butler in Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat.
The butler? Oh. There is no butler.
There is a butler. In Go Go Joseph.
So you like play servants.
Honest folk. And you are the
working
play, like,
class.
The master of like the manor.
when I was a kid, we used to, my mum just used to take us to all the like party places for holidays. I'd be like 12 and we'd be in like Iron Apple.
Magaluf.
Cavos. We went to Cavos.
Did you?
It's a shithole.
Is it horrid?
Honestly. And especially when you're 12, you're like, what do I do here? Everyone is naked and kissing each other.
Mummy, why did those two men hug for so long?
Why are those people hugging on the beach and shaking?
Shaking. Is that where you learnt some of your tricks of the trade?
No, famously not. As a fat kid. And also, I was a kid. Mainly the first one.
Well, I've never trained in the dramatic arts. James, you have, I imagine.
When I was a kid, I did do free Saturday morning drama near my house.
Actually, I did something similar, like just in the Methodist church. I mean, it wasn't Methodist acting. It would just happen to be in the Methodist church.
It wasn't very good. I just giggled a lot.
I obviously grew up in the
theatre. Yeah, we know, so, we know.
Spent most of my youth backstage at the theatre, the club theatre in Altrincham.
Not most of his youth on stage, most of his youth backstage. Doesn't tell you everything you need to know. Swilling a vodka tonic backstage.
Lingering like around.
Cigar in hand, year four.
Why are you backstage at a theatre?
I used to hang out at the theatre because all my mates were there.
You didn't just hang out at the theatre.
Me and my sister, we did, and our friends.
What do you mean all your mates were there?
At the weekend.
What do you mean? What, all of your 40-year-old actor mates? Hi, Mum. Can my friend come over for dinner? Yes, sure, darling. Who is it? It's 50-year-old Michael Smith.
Oh, my God. That was a very camp old man called Mike.
Oh, God.
He used to walk with a cane. I don't know whether it was for a prop or he actually had a limp, but he really made that cane
work for him.
Yeah.
What, and you'd just hang out, the two of you?
No. He was in the club theatre, but we would go. So there was like a Saturday school.
I was so confused.
Why were all your childhood friends 50-year-old men?
No, they weren't. A lot of my friends were just kids that were my age.
Yeah.
But then there was an upper tier of
But why were you all hanging out backstage at the theatre? That's what I don't understand.
You can't just wander around.
No, you can. That was what was great about it. And we'd write plays and we'd...
Write plays? What are you on about? We'd write plays.
Well, you know that I was Toad of Toad Hall. We've talked about
this. You were in a play where you were Toad of Toad Hall. We've heard that till the cows come home. But I'm with James. Very unusual behaviour to just be wandering around aimlessly backstage.
Wandering around aimlessly. I was hanging out.
Right, at 7 years old, writing plays backstage. With 50-year-old Michael Smith on his cane.
Me and Mike weren't...
What world were you living in?
We weren't friends, Mike and I. We weren't not friends, but, you know, it would have been weird to hang out.
Did you invite Widow Twanky to your birthday party when you were 8?
It was actually really fun.
Defensive. Quite defensive about Mike, isn't he?
Yeah.
About Big Mike, about Uncle Mike.
About Mike, specifically. How is Mike getting so much fucking airtime? Who's Mike?
I think we really don't.
That's a name I haven't heard in many a year.
We had
Vicky Lane. She taught us. Val Harris.
These are made up names.
But they do sound like old world drama people.
Yeah,
don't
Val
they?
Harris.
Val Harris.
Yeah, they were great. They were really fun. And Dad used to pick us up. So
what? Did you still just leave you there?
Yeah, and then we'd like put on plays, and Mum and Dad would come and see us in them and stuff.
Why is he acting so casual?
Yeah, why is he delivering it so straight?
Alice, some people sing in the choir, others bake bread. I hung out at the club theatre as a child.
This is mind-boggling that we've never heard this before.
That's bizarre. What a bizarre childhood.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know how ridiculously eccentric my parents are. Is it much of a... Is it really a surprise?
Everything's starting to piece together. It's all starting to make a lot
more
sense.
You need to go and be creative and, you know... Express yourself. And, you know.
I know, but I thought you had a grasp on how batshit that was, but no, you don't because you're delivering it in such a weird way. Why won't you come back to us?
I'm indoctrinated at the club theatre, Alice.
You know that bit in Home Alone 2 where the homeless woman lives in the roof of the theatre? That's what I'm imagining for Jamie. He's just like, he's set up shop at the back of the theatre.
Oh, it was fun.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
This is a whole, honestly, a side of Jamie I've never heard about. He's way more thespy than he ever let on.
It's weird.
Yeah, it was an interesting time.
James,
so,
say something for God's sake.
I can't wait to read his memoirs, honestly. They're going to be...
We know a fraction of his life. You know when they say we know 1% of the things that live under the sea? I feel like we know the tip of the iceberg about this man.
Yeah, what makes him tick? Why is he so good at accents?
Exactly.
I'm not. I'm terrible, as everyone tells me on Twitter every day.
Well, we know who to blame. Val Harris.
There you go. R.I.P.
Oh, is she? Has she left us?
Not with assuming so. I mean,
I'm assuming.
She's pretty old. When
she's pretty old when they were friends. He's been to so many funerals.
Oh my God.
Honestly, you shouldn't have to lose so many friends.
The curse of being a 7-year-old with 8-year-old pals.
Anyway.
Was your first girlfriend 60? Veronica Lane. She was a beauty. She left me her entire fortune.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh my God. Why has he had just a whole other life? Oh, my God.
One of my friends from the club theatre came to my 30th birthday, actually. You might have met him. Patrick?
He was the chap in the corner in the wheelchair.
He was the fella doing the Charleston.
He was in an iron lung.
He had some wonderful stories about the war. Have you managed to catch up with him?
It's outrage.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Too fucking funny. Val God. Fucking Harris.
Jamie Morton, you have lived a life, and so have your friends.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever had a pen pal?
Yeah, I did actually.
Did you?
On a few occasions. So weird.
Oh, God.
Wrote to...
Imaginary friend.
Well, I was really sad to...
No.
I was really
She's
sad.
She's going red. This is going to be a corker. Finally, Alice's childhood.
Oh,
is
my God.
Yeah, finally. Jeez.
I was particularly sad...
Okay, you were sad, we get it.
To leave one teacher's class at primary school.
Oh.
And so I wrote to her for a bit.
Back and forth? Or you'd just send them letters and they wouldn't reply?
No, she would reply.
She replied. Oh my God, I honestly don't know what's sadder. That she wrote them or that she replied.
Quite long letters as well.
Say what? Oh, God.
Were you just in the next class?
I think.
So you'd like see each other at lunch.
Still
like,
in the building.
Wait for the letter.
I caught your reflection through the window today. I miss you ever so, darling.
They were love letters.
Great assembly the other day. I loved it.
Oh, see.
Where did you get that skirt? I'd love one myself.
Love how high-waisted it is. Yeah, she was a much older woman.
How old?
She was very old.
Oh, so she wasn't like one of those young teachers
no,
that you felt a kind of kinship with.
It was a very strange, time in my life, but... Yeah, we went back and forth a bit, and then I think it, you know, naturally
fizzled
out. Yeah, it was a fizzle.
When she just stopped responding.
What would you write to her? What would you be saying?
Like, just what was going on with us, you know, just going on in our lives.
And it ended, what, when you graduated university, or...?
Actually, I'm due to write back. and then now I say it out loud, if my kid was writing letters to their teacher...
I actually think, like, because now, yeah, it would be considered weird... I think it's quite sweet.
It is quite sweet, I suppose. But like, I also...
Oh God, how many she got?
I had quite a few,
it's
actually.
The Alice Pen Pal episode, everybody.
Quite a few. I won't go into them all because I don't want to betray any confidences. But men, they were all...
Elderly.
Much older.
And you had the cheek to mock my club theatre friends.
Okay, but...
You literally were writing to old people. And I at least... knew these people.
I could just imagine her like letter bombing old people's homes and things. Yeah. Just hoping someone
replies.
You know,
you had to like send those parcels of tins on Harvest Festival. Alice just slipped in loads of notes for all the residents.
I had a pen pal as well, someone my age.
Okay.
My year 5 teacher was a bit weird. Like, we'd go around to his house to use the computer and stuff like that. It was all a
what?
Bit...
What?
Yeah. He was lovely. He was nothing dodgy, but it was all a bit like stuff you wouldn't do now. But he was a maverick. He'd like... I was a ball boy at a test match between England and India because of him. He was a big cricket fan, so I was boy at a...
Wow.
And what else did he do? He used to have music lessons with us. I know all the back catalogue of Sting and the Police because of him. He'd like play us a Sting song.
Sorry.
He'd play us like Message...
I'm learning so much about you both. It's hard to compute.
He'd play us like Message in a Bottle and have us like analyse it. He's like, what do you think this is about? And I'm like, Message in a Bottle, I guess. And he's in the title. Do we need to listen to
James has always been very literal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one of the things he did was he partnered with a school in West Yorkshire, Hebden Bridge, actually.
Oh, yeah. I know it.
And we'd all have a pen pal in that class.
Very sweet.
I forget the name of mine, but we then went to...
Such a bond.
We then went to Hebden Bridge for a week.
For a week?
To live with our pen pals.
Oh my God. At what, in year five?
Yeah, but the funniest thing is, so it was almost like a cultural exchange with Yorkshire. I mean, we're in the East Midlands. Like,
I was going to say, it's not very far.
What are we teaching them? So we had to prepare performances to like show each other when
we
got there. Yeah. But he had us learn West Side Story.
Oh, wow. Not really your culture, to be fair. If anything, cultural appropriation. Yeah.
Completely a cultural appropriation. So, yeah, I was the lead dancer.
Obviously.
I had to learn the dance off the videotape for America. Do you know that one? It's quite upbeat and jazzy.
Oh, my God.
And another track called G Officer Krupke.
Yeah.
This is so special.
And we would learn the dances off the off the video, and then we performed them in front of the class in West Yorkshire.
So were you so Tony? Weird.
I was the lead in both. I was the lead dancer.
Because America is... Well, I think that they're the two different sides, both those songs.
I was the Puerto Rican side.
Well, you were for America, but you were also very much the American side for G Officer Krupke.
It's very balletic and very... You know, the people in the film are amazing dancers.
Jerome Robbins, he was no slouch. So the Nottingham people were doing West Side Story.
Yes.
And what were the Yorkshire people doing?
What did the Yorkshire lot bring
from? I forget. I think they probably just read a poem.
Boring.
They did, like, a long dance routine. Have you ever got through security, though, with something a bit dodgy? Like, have you ever got through and you're like, oh my God, I've got this, like, pin.
Why have you got a pin?
I don't know. But, like, if you've got through with something where you're like, probably shouldn't be able to have this on a plane.
I once went through security with a cake fork in my bag.
Okay, why did you have a cake fork?
I don't know. I was really little.
Oh, let me guess, from your time being a professional patisserie chef at the age of five.
You and Val.
I think I was just eating all the cake, to be honest with you. But no, yeah, they're really mean to you. Yeah.
No, sorry, why did you have a cake fork?
I don't know. It was in my bag, I think.
What is a cake fork?
What is a cake fork?
You know, a cake, but very, very long prongs. Like, quite a lethal piece of cake.
Why is he being so chill again?
And did you insist upon a cake fork anytime you eat a cake? Well, I'd love to eat this red velvet cake, but I can't see a cake fork anywhere. I'll have to leave it. It'll go stale.
Mummy, I know we're going on the big trip, but don't forget to pack my cake fork.
Oh, bloody hell, I've got a cake fork in my bag. What am I like?
You two are horrible people.
Oh, my God, cake fork, honest to God.
Every time you learn something like that about him, does it just make you question why we've been friends so long?
I just imagine him when he was a kid, just this little Lord Fauntleroy.
So not true. That wasn't what I was like.
A precious little deer.
I feel like he didn't walk. He trotted around with his fucking nose in the air, holding his cake fork, writing plays, calling his mum mother.
Or mummy.
I was incredibly bullied, actually, but...
You amaze me.
So mean. After a day?
After a day!
So my mum, like, called me in the summer and she was like, she basically wants me out of her house completely. She wants any memories out of the house.
Really?
She was
God, like, she's changed.
Seriously?
Yeah, you used to be the absolute golden child.
Oh, that's long gone. So she was like, yeah, there's loads of crap in the loft of yours. Come and clear it out. I want it out. But I found something that is so lol, I thought I had to share it with you.
Oh.
Right, bit of context. Do you remember on, like, a really random footnotes ages ago, I talked that I did drug abuse resistant education at school, DARE.
Oh, yes, yes. Didn't you, like, write a song or something?
I wrote a song. a rap. I found the lyrics.
Oh my god!
Oh, brilliant. Okay,
now Merry Christmas, yeah. everyone.
I found the lyrics. Let me get them out.
Oh wow, it's typed.
It's simply called Dare Song. I'm just going to read it you bit by bit. Maybe we can do the same format as I don't know My Dad Wrote a Porno, where I read a bit, you give me your thoughts.
Are you going to do it to the rhythm?
I think you should do it as a performance piece. Really,
I don't know what the rhythm was, but I'll give it a try.
Just go for it.
Oh, sorry. Just for context, what was the brief for the song?
There wasn't a brief. No one asked me to do this.
But this is a, but this is about drugs.
This is about drugs at school.
A very serious topic. Asked me to do this. Story of James's life.
Okay. For 17 weeks, we've been learning about drugs. 17 weeks?
That classic period of time.
For 17 weeks, we've been learning about drugs and what they can do to you. Assertiveness alternatives and drug abuse too are all in the lessons by the DARE crew.
What an unusual rhythm. It's not iambic pentameter, is it?
Drug abuse resistance education, cannabis speed and the smoking populations.
Smoking population, are they drug users now?
Yeah, I'm
smokers
sure
aren't included. Drug users.
No, they did always say that was a gateway, didn't they?
Oh, it's a gateway drug, of course.
Yeah, tobacco is a gateway drug.
So, cannabis speed and the smoking population do not know what's right, but do know what's wrong. And that is the reason we're rapping this song. You don't rap a song,
James.
But okay.
There's no weir. It's you on your own. Who's the weir?
Like I could rope any other.
So, did the curtains part and then the gospel choir come out?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Is that right?
I'll see you. We've come to tell you one and all one little important thing. So that's the verse, and this is the chorus.
Okay.
That drugs are wrong and drugs are right.
It's very, it's a very confused message. So wait, 17 weeks and you still don't know?
DARE cannot endorse this message, I'm afraid.
Some people take them to sleep at night. So, like, I think I meant like a night nurse or something like that.
Oh, right.
Why are you putting that caveat in? Why do you need to clarify that?
I don't know. Some people take them to cure their sickness, and some people take them for the heck of it.
This is the chorus.
The little fuckers.
Sorry, we're just losing the rhythm of it. So, just read this chorus bit again, sorry.
Because it's an anthem, so think big, you're in a stadium.
We should all join in.
That drugs are wrong and drugs are right. Some people take them to sleep at night. Some people take them to cure their sickness. And some people take them for the heck of it. We're rapping this song. It won't take long.
And it's already taken ages.
It's taking far too long.
It's taken 17 weeks, it feels like.
But we have a question. Are drugs right or wrong? I feel like I answered that at the start of the chorus.
Well, no, they're also wrong and right, apparently.
I think this is my favourite song in the world.
And then it just says, I just want you to know one little important thing, and then we go back to the chorus, that drugs are wrong and drugs are right. Some people take them to sleep at night.
So I want you to know one little thing. Drugs are wrong, drugs are right. You aren't telling us anything.
Why are you so on the fence?
And then it's chorus twice.
Wow, it's powerful. It's powerful.
It's like Stan, isn't it, by Eminem. It's one of those songs that's going to...
James, that was absolutely incredible. Thank you.
Isn't it absolute nonsense? So can I just say, I was 10 when I wrote that.
Sure.
Okay.
10. So that is the work of a 10-year-old. I know what you're thinking. That's a professional.
He's 10, so he's got 2 years of Santa left when he wrote that. Just to really put it in context for you.
Oh, God.
All I would say is that you have a lot of cheek mocking my dad. I mean,
he was
come
10,
on.
Jamie. Was 10. Your dad's probably 60. Nearly 70.
He's 60, 10. Yeah. I did what was it called? An NVQ, is that?
You've done it. Oh, here we go. What?
So,
Jamie, why do you wait until the start of the podcast to reveal all this weird... What have you done an NVQ in?
What, sorry. Well, this year you've
no,
done
no,
an
no,
NVQ.
This is when I was a kid.
When you were a kid, you did an NVQ! Just for the international listeners, it's basically a degree.
Is it? No, I did a baccalaureate when I was 4.
Doing life drawing.
You did an NVQ in life drawing when you were a kid.
What?
It was in, I think it was in year 10 or 11, and we used to go to the next town along from my school. It was kind of like a night class.
I can't look at it.
And it was
a night class. Why were you at school at night?
Alice is having a breakdown. It was like an
NVQ in life
extra.
When he was in year 10 or 11, so he was doing his GCSEs, but decided to opt into night school.
It was one day a week. I did it with some friends. It was fun, but we had to draw.
How old were the friends?
Well, the woman that we had to draw was called Samantha, I remember, American. And what was great about it,
first
which is
girlfriend.
Why I mentioned it, was that you all were in a circle around Samantha. So everyone's picture had a different perspective. But she was great. And she just used to strip off and then we would draw her. But My point being, so when you do it on Zoom, everyone's got the same perspective of your model. So you're all in competition. Whereas the good thing when I did my MVQ was that...
you'd always go for the rear.
Your art was never directly compared to each other's because you had a slightly different viewpoint.
That is the beauty of an MVQ, isn't it?
What a fucking roundabout way to tell us he has an MVQ in life drawing.
This is where he tells us that he left school at 9.
Yeah, honestly. Jamie, get it out of your system now before we start.
We haven't even started reading the bloody book. I'm so sorry. I've derailed it twice with Hot Crumbly and an MVQ.
I never thought a hidden qualification that he didn't like drawing. I mean, he's just full of surprises.
I think it was by a salt museum, if I remember.
Oh, shut up. Shut your goddamn mouth. I've had quite enough of you.
He's trolling us.
If you're not reading the book, I don't want to see that mouth flapping, all right?
Deal. Okay, salt museum. Fine. That's it.
When did I sign up to be part of a podcast that's basically Jamie's autobiography, where we get a new slice of his life every week?
Why did he opt to... 15 years old. You're interested in girls, you want to go out, you want to get drunk illegally.
Well, you weren't, but okay.
Jamie opts in for a night class.
Can I just say, it was one night a week. It was a school night.
I mean, I don't disapprove of anybody bettering themselves, learning a new skill, apart from Jamie. And that is my only caveat.
I thought that you would be an ally in this, Alice. You also enjoy
life drawing. It's the lies I can't take.
Well, it's not even lies, is it? It's more...
How is it lying?
Years of omission.
Deceptions and withholding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just a web of
sin of omission,
hiding.
You feel. It just never came up.
Who are you? You know why he's so good at all the voices, don't you? He's a spy.
I think he is. I don't think he's our friend at all.
So if you've made it this far,
congratulations.
Snap.
And as a little reward, we've got a little unheard gem from the archives.
Indeed. Uncut jam.
An uncut jam.
Uncut jam.
Yeah, enjoy.
Have I ever told you my mugging story?
No, I don't think so.
Is this going to be scary?
Was it recent?
Terrifying. No, I was like 13.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Could you play some like violin music?
No.
I had a paper round. I posted the free paper in Nottingham. The Nottingham... shout out to the Nottingham Topper. Don't know if it still exists.
Nottingham Topper.
Nottingham Topper.
How appropriate for you.
Oh, rude. Basically, a weekly free newspaper. I had a paper round. I had to deliver to 150 houses in the local area.
250?
150.
Oh, 150, fine.
Yeah, it took me about 2 hours. You also had to put that... You got more money if you put the leaflets in the papers.
Did you ever dump them?
I did, actually, yeah.
I think you can say it now. Statute of limitations on that.
His lips didn't even move when he said that.
Is this recording? Yes, I did.
I'm so glad I'm wearing a wire. We've got him.
So, yeah, I was doing it one day, and I just hear behind me, oi!
Oh, God.
Obviously ignored it, because a noise never... You're not going to look behind you like, do you want this teddy?
It's never good, is it?
No, it's never good.
Do you want this teddy?
Well, like, if you look behind you, they're never going to be offering you something nice.
What, because you want a teddy? What?
It's never going to be your teddy? Biggest dreams in the world, like a new teddy.
What I mean is, someone shouting oi at you, it's never going to be good.
It's not going to be a teddy. Oh,
alright.
Also, he was 13 and that's what he was dreaming of. He's like, maybe it's that beautiful bear I think about every night before I close my eyes.
Could it be Winnie the Pooh? Is that you? Do you want a cookie?
So I think we've established it wasn't a teddy.
Surely it was just someone who was like, will you stop fly tipping my house?
No, but regardless, what I mean is, like, if someone shouts oi at you, you don't look back.
You don't.
You get that Nottingham topper through the letterbox and you move on.
Oh, I'd have dumped those toppers.
What, and just ran?
Yes.
Yeah, but then you'd have never known if it was a teddy.
Alice, I don't have that kind of look.
You just spent your life thinking, what if?
Boy can dream. So the oys get closer.
Oh, God.
Turn around, and this guy's like, give me 50p for cigarettes or that Walkman, because I had a Walkman on.
Oh.
I was like, 50p or my Walkman? Like, that's
not
equivalent value.
They don't usually negotiate like that, do they? I presume. I mean, I haven't been mugged, but...
Well, obviously, Alice, I'm on my paper round. I'm not carrying change.
No.
All I've got is this Walkman.
he only travels with plastic.
Also, like, you had to used to pay 50p for one cigarette. Do you remember that?
This is old money, though. So 50p...
It's old money. I'm not that old.
50p now is £10,000.
It was like, give me threepence.
But you used to charge 50p for a cigarette.
What do you mean?
So if you wanted to bum a cigarette... The going rate was 50p.
That's mad.
That feels so arbitrary, though. Like, That's not like the street rate. Someone could just charge you whatever they want for one cigarette.
And but there was an etiquette thing, I think. It was like, if you have a packet of cigarettes and someone wants one, they'll be like, I'll give you 50p for it.
But he was mugging James, to be fair.
Sure.
So there was no etiquette involved, I don't think.
No, there was no etiquette. And I was like...
But you have to respect that he was only stealing from you what the going rate was, apparently.
Exactly.
So.
Okay, for one
He wasn't
cigarette.
Fleecing you as well as mugging you, is the point.
So in many ways, we're on his side.
He just wanted one cigarette, man.
So he... As he was confronting me, he was on the pavement and I was on someone's drive, having just inserted the topper through their slot.
So to speak.
Stop saying you inserted the topper.
And I was like, well, I'm not going to give him a Walkman. It was a good Walkman.
Yeah. Tape or CD?
It was a tape.
Which I always found were easier to cycle with when I did my paper round.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
CDs just jump.
CDs were jumping all the time on Walkmans.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to go out on the pavement because then I'll be, like, confronting him. So I cross the front garden into the next front garden. I start to cry.
Oh, James Cooper. Sweet little James Cooper. All you need is a little cuddle of your teddy, wasn't it?
I'm like, leave me alone, leave me alone. And I think I get so wound up and cryy that he flees.
Oh, he's over... Because of toxic masculinity, he's overwhelmed by the emotion.
Yeah, he's like, this guy's like too much for me, and just like runs off and leaves me. And that's kind of the end of the story.
And was it a negotiation tactic? Oh.
Well, it was all I had, Al. I mean, like... I always think, like, if you're ever confronted with a situation, the crazier you act, the more likely you're kind of to get out of it.
I had a very similar thing happen to me once.
Oh, my God.
Admittedly, much, much older. I was quite drunk in Brixton, actually. And I was leaving a club and I'd, like, had a bit of a rough night. I think I'd had a row with a mate or whatever. And I was, like, storming through, you know, the bit outside the Ritzy.
I do.
Yeah.
And this drug dealer was like, mate, do you want some gear weapon?
Do you want some drugs?
And I just
50p for a cigarette.
Yeah. They're all the same.
And I just turned around to him and I was like, no, I fucking don't, you fucking prick.
Whoa.
And then
okay.
kind of
he's just a vendor.
Right. And then immediately realised who the hell I'd said that to, and he was
it
so
wasn't the king
tall,
drug dealer.
This guy. He was a kingpin. And I
does Jamie think he's in like a Guy Ritchie movie?
No, it's so unlike me, I know. But I literally he was like, what the fuck did you say to me? And honestly, I crumbled.
You
a
cried.
Bit like you, James. And I just started to cry. I was so drunk and highly emotional. I was like, I'm really sorry. I just had a row with my mate. And he just takes me, gives me the biggest hug.
Gives me the biggest teddy.
James, he was the teddy. He was the teddy I was looking for. I just didn't know it.
He did not hug
Gave
you.
Gave me the biggest hug. Like, I was like sobbing into his T-shirt. His T-shirt was soaking wet. And he was like, look, do you want some weed? And I was like, yeah. And then my friend...
No, you didn't take it, did you, Jamie? You said, no, thank you.
Oh, yeah, no. And I said, no, that's fine. I've had a lovely evening. And we went on my way. So... I can understand
crying.
That actually it does help
Honestly,
in those moments. It's like, it like humanises people.
Or just scares them off.
Well, just, I think you showing vulnerability is a good thing.
So if you're ever confronted again, weep. Maybe take an onion out with you and just like rub it under your eyes and you're going to be safe forever.
And you know who that man was? The young boy that mugged Jay.
Oh my God.
Who'd you? It keeps happening to me. He learnt his lesson and he comforted me. Did he try and run after you? Like, how did it end?
No. I think I was just like embarrassing him, so he just kind of walked off in the
end.
Wow. Kept the Walkman.
Oh, he did take the Walkman.
No, I kept my Walkman.
It's a success story.
So I thought that was going to just be a funny story, but actually a genuinely useful one. So pop a little onion in your back pocket.
And next time you mugged, you'll be safe.
I think it's just a sign that don't be afraid to show your vulnerability. I think that is the lesson of that story.
Although, to be fair, vulnerability is what got you in that situation in the first place. So.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of don't know why we didn't include it now. It must have been a length thing. I don't know.
Was that just sat on a timeline somewhere? That you
Yeah, had? So in each episode, I would edit stuff. And then if I wasn't sure about something, I'd put it at the end of the timeline. And if there was space at the end,
yeah,
I'd
okay, it's not your TED not, talk. Okay,
yeah, so who do you think you are, Steven Spielberg?
Thelma Schoonmaker, sorry. Yes, that was fun. That was good. We should
that
do more
was
of these.
So fun.
We'll be back in 4 whole weeks for another one of these.
And it'll be a different theme.
It will be a different theme. I'm thinking James's best bits.
Well, I mean, that's basically what the show is as it stands. So. Yeah.
Thank you.
James's tropical bird laugh on a loop for half an hour.
Rude. Jamie's boring stories about how he edits the podcast.
Oh, okay. I think we need to go. If you have some favourite bits of the podcast that you think we should include, please do get in touch with us. Normal places, mydadwroteaporno@gmail.com. My dad wrote on Instagram, @dadwroteaporno on Twitter/X.
Do we
have
on threads, James?
No, should I get us on threads?
Should we
get on threads?
Should I do us a TikTok?
Oh, for God's sake, do us a TikTok.
Okay, I'll try and figure out TikTok in the next few weeks.
You said it now. And yes, thanks so much for listening and see you next month.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.